Dwight Schrute for Robert California.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Schrute. I'll tell him you're here. Can I get you anything at all?
I'm not here to be given anything. I'm here to take what is mine.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, coming off a loss to the Jaguars. Ethan and Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow me on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. If we're not on your favorite podcast app, you tell me and I'll make it happen. I'll tell you more about our sponsor later in the episode, but our sponsor for this episode is mybookie.ag, promo code NYG, 100% bonus on deposits up to $1,000, and Weiss, I'll get into it later, but I fucking crushed it this weekend, up over 8 units. No plays yet for next week, but I will tell you guys about that later when I tell you more about mybookie. Weiss, we're coming off quite a disappointing loss to the Jags. I had them losing this one. You had them winning. And going into what is now, if it wasn't already, a must-win game against the Cowboys, who looked atrocious, especially on the offensive side of the ball against Carolina in week one. I know we each have a lot of thoughts on the game. For me, and you know, you can dictate the direction if you'd like. I would like to start with the offense, particularly with Elisha Nelson Manning.
Okay. I'll let you take a crack at that.
All right. Well, I'll take a crack at Eli Manning, because I think you know better than most, and maybe some of the listeners that we have that go way back know that, you know, I have forever been an Eli apologist. And, right. You know, it was even last year when the team was atrocious, you know, approaching draft time, Giants are going to be picking top five in the draft. You know, I was banging the quarterback drum. I said, you know what, it's time. And you know, they did what they did. Took a running back at second. We could talk about how Sam Darnold looked later in the episode, because people seem to be a little bit upset that he played well.
Very upset.
Yeah, very, very upset. Triggered, if you will.
Scared.
A little scared. Yeah. Here's my take on Eli Manning at this point. Eli Manning did not lose the Giants the game on Sunday. However, he did not win them the game. The playbook on Eli Manning is out, and it's been out for years. You have an immobile quarterback behind a garbage offensive line and a guy who at this point hears footsteps. He's a little scared. When he takes shots, they're not accurate because it doesn't take much to get pressure in his face. You made the decision to stick with Eli Manning this season, and maybe not even just this season, moving forward for the foreseeable future. John Mara, Steve Tisch, Dave Gettleman, they all said, Eli Manning is our guy. Offensive line play is down around the league. That is a fact. You look all over the place, there are really bad offensive lines. You know, you can look towards the Cowboys without the injuries. They're pretty great. You look at the Rams, they got a great offensive line. Eagles, great offensive line. In general, offensive line play is down around the league. It's early in the season. They were up against a tough defense, and there was a lot of pressure. But if you commit to Eli Manning and he cannot win you these games, he missed Odell on two throws that could have won them the game, then why are you all in on Eli Manning? The Eli that we saw is what we're going to get for the rest of the season. You have a pretty, pretty bad offensive line. Ereck Flowers, Patrick Omame. Nate Solder didn't play particularly well against the Jaguars either. It's tough to watch because, you know, Eli moved around a little bit, but at the end of the day, he's unable to escape the pocket. He doesn't throw well on the run. And it's the sort of immobility that just you look at him and you go, I don't have confidence that this guy can win me games. There are quarterbacks around the league that will make that game-winning throw. They'll take some shots, they'll miss, whatever. But there are guys that can win you games. He makes rookie mistakes. in his 14th, 15th season. He did some good. He did some bad. But if this is the guy you decide to roll with for this season, maybe next season, maybe the season after that, he needs to win you games. He needs to step up and make those big-time throws. Because what people are going to argue is that, well, you know what? You know, he started off the game real well. His completion percentage was great. And, you know, oh, maybe, you know, the snap wasn't good. Or, you know, maybe he got pressured right away. Enough of the excuses. He has the best supporting cast that he has had in years. He has a head coach who is known for taking mediocre to average, even bad quarterback play, and lifting them up. This is the best supporting cast he has had in years. And this is what the Jaguars do. People say, well, you know, they only lost by 5 to the Jaguars, and if that pass didn't get tipped, that's what the Jaguars do. Their offense isn't good. Their defense is good. They keep them in games, and when they go up, they just grind and grind and grind, and they don't win by big margins. That is how the Jaguars win games. So I'm not really taking a lot of confidence in the fact that they only lost by 5 to one of the best defenses in the league, because that's the Jaguars' style of play. I'm nervous going forward. I still think they win in Dallas next week, but we can get into more of that later. There are some positives to take from Sunday's game against the Jaguars. Eli was not one of them for me. Odell looked great. Saquon did what we know he's capable of doing. The pass rush looked great at points. Should get Olivier Vernon back next Sunday against the Cowboys. There were some positives. I'll even throw some kudos to Eli Apple, who looked great against a bad Jaguars offense, but he made the plays he needed to play. Kudos to him. There were some positives. It's tough for me to watch Eli Manning in 2018 and have confidence that this is the guy who's going to be able to step up and make a play and keep this team in contention, especially with the treacherous first half schedule that they have. I'll throw it over to you.
I mean, you hit it. You hit it sort of on the head.
Maybe clip the thumb a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know like where to start with this. I mean, it just seems like this is week 18 of the NFL season of last year. I mean, and we just got, you know, a healthy Odell back, and we just got like, it just feels like it's the same shit, different day with this team. And people will say, oh, it's just week one. Well, let's look at this, you know, from a larger perspective. Over the last 4 years, right, what has been the problem with the New York Giants? The main problem, the offensive line. Forget the fact that they're dealing with a declining quarterback and their weird offseason that they had, where they just sort of, it just felt like it was a big apology parade for Eli Manning for benching him. But let's just look at it from this perspective, right? Eric Flowers. And I want to start right there with Eric Flowers. And it's not all him. There's other ways to go, but I want to start with, not with Eric Flowers, but with the Eric Flowers situation. Eric Flowers is not good. He fucking sucks. I don't know where, like, no, it's not even funny. Don't laugh. It's not funny. He's not good. You know it. I know it. There's been no improvement. Not from 14 to 15, not from 15 to 16, not from 16 to nine. There's been none. He has a piss poor attitude. He's not good. And for some odd reason, every year we go into the offseason and say, we got to get some competition in our left tackle, at right tackle. We can't just hand Eric Flowers a position, the starting job at the left tackle spot or the right tackle spot. And what happens? Eric Flowers gets handed the spot. Now, this was the year I thought, hey, maybe this is the year they finally bring in some competition. They went out, they paid Nate Solder. I said, yay, listen, Nate Solder, while he's not a great left tackle, I don't mind giving him top dollar, because that's what you got to do. It's tough to get quality linemen in this league. I was fine with that. But then you just tell Eric Flowers, here, Eric, whenever you feel like coming and joining the team, here, you have a starting right tackle job for you. And your only quote-unquote competition is the guy who's been competing against you over the last 2 years or last year in Chad Wheeler. I don't get it. Every year we go into the offseason, right? And what do we say? Got to get a tight end, you know, a big body tight end. You know, Eli Manning loves those big body tight ends. Boom, first round pick, Evan Engram, right? What else do we talk about? We got to get some linemen, right? Well, you part ways with Justin Pugh, part ways with Weston Westbrook, fine. It was some weird relationship anyway. You get Will Hernandez, cool, right? Well, you know what? John Jerry's not working out, so what do? You go pay a lineman that's worse than John Jerry, and you give him a terrible contract. But the Eric Flowers situation, that's the thing that boggles my mind, is Dave Gettleman didn't draft this guy. This guy had a piss-poor attitude all offseason. For some reason, he comes in, and he's the starting right tackle of this team. And what does he do in the first week of the regular season? The first play, he commits one of the most embarrassing penalties I have ever seen in my life.
And it's because he didn't read the scouting report on Calais Campbell.
Oh, don't even get me started on that.
I sort of want to get you started on it. Talk about it.
I mean, listen, this is what I talk about when I say attitude. You know what that comment tells me? You know what that comment tells me Eric Flowers is doing?
He doesn't give a fuck.
Eric Flowers is saying, no. It's not that he doesn't give a fuck. You know what he's saying? He's saying, it's not my fault. It's the coach's fault. That's what he's saying. Because the coaching staff gives them a scouting report, right? They put together a scouting report, give it to their players. This is what you look for when you're talking about this guy, that guy, and this guy, right? Well, guess what he's saying? I didn't know he was a big guy, a strength guy, a guy that, with power. I thought he was more of a speed guy, even though he's 6'6", 300 pounds.
I think he's tall. He's like 6'9", 300 pounds.
This is what I'm talking about, man. And week in and week out for the last 4 years, right? I'll take out the rookie season because he was a rookie. The last 3 years, we've talked about it. And every year, it's the same story with this guy. And what's crazy to me is that despite his attitude and his just horrible decision-making this offseason by not showing up to offseason workouts and OTAs, he comes in and he's handed the right tackle position. Just handed
silver
like
platter.
Here, on a silver platter. And you know what else is crazy? The Giants have no money tied to this guy. They have no years on his contract tied to this guy. But for some odd reason that I don't get, Eric Flowers constantly gets handed starting roles on this team. Now, I don't want to sit here and blame him. And I know people will say it's just week one, but this
We've
is the same
thing. We've been saying that for 4 years.
It's the same thing. See, if the Giants would have lost this game because Saquon Barkley fumbled or Evan Ingram, dropped a key pass or any receiver dropped a key pass or the defense didn't get stops, it would be like, let's calm down. It's the Jaguars, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But they lost the same reason they've been losing games the last 4 years. Bad offensive line play and mediocre quarterback play. Now, I agree with you with Eli Manning. I am 100% on board. They should have taken the quarterback in the draft. I will say it today. I will say it tomorrow. And I said it yesterday. And they will end up looking like fools when it's all said and done. You can quote me on that. They will. This isn't a Super Bowl team. This quarterback, not for some reason. We know the reason. He's never a mobile guy. But he's lost some key strengths that he had because of age and because of bad offensive line play. What is that? His pocket awareness is bad. His arm strength is deteriorating. Let's just get him a tight end. He needs a running back. We got to get that running back.
And that's the thing. This is what confuses me. We know Eli's immobile. Defenses know that he cannot move. All they have to do is wait, and then when the moment comes, send the house. They don't even need to send the house to get by Omame and Flowers. Rush. They don't hesitate. They don't need to worry about him escaping the pocket or sidestepping. As soon as there's a little bit of pressure, he's either going to make a bad throw or he's going to crumble to the ground. And people were telling me in the offseason, Barkley's going to help. How is Barkley going to help?
Barkley ain't playing quarterback.
Barkley's not playing quarterback. Barkley's not going to be able to run behind this shit offensive line. He'll be able to break a play or two. Sure, we saw that Sunday. But Eli's never been good at screens. Eli's never been good at dump offs. If you're going to stick with a tree behind this shitty offensive line, why are you investing in how you invested this offseason instead of just throwing everything out and bringing in a half decent offensive lineman?
You know what pretty much sums up this whole situation? The Giants ran a screenplay where to the right side where Omame and Flowers didn't block anybody, and the pass went 5 yards over Saquon Barkley's head.
Yep.
I mean, if you want a play that pretty much sums everything up for the Giants, go back. I think it was the third quarter or the fourth quarter, late in the third. Eli Manning threw a screenplay to Saquon Barkley. It goes 3 yards, 3 feet over his head, right? The two offensive linemen to the right of him, Omame and Flowers, they don't block anybody. Jalapio's not even in the picture. I mean, listen.
If you're going to go into this season, commit to Eli Manning, then you trade back. You trade back. If you know your offensive line is shit and it's hard, and expensive to bring in proven offensive linemen in free agency, then you trade back. You know what the Giants could have fucking gotten at second overall with the number of people that need a quarterback?
Let's not even go there.
They take an offensive lineman. They bring in Solder. The offensive line does not look like as badly as it does right now. If you're going to commit to Eli for the foreseeable future, build the offensive line.
Here, forget about trading back. You take Saquon Barkley, right? You knew you were going to take Saquon Barkley. You knew it in March. If they're telling you we didn't know, they're lying to you. They were basically kissing his ass at the combine. I mean, you remember the head of scouting who got a...
Yeah.
It was basically hugging Saquon Barkley. He did hug Saquon Barkley. Everyone knew it. It was the worst kept secret, you know, for the entire spring. We didn't want to believe it because we didn't think they'd pass up on a franchise quarterback, but they did it. And I'm not here to debate the draft. What I'm saying is you take Barkley, right? You got to get some offensive linemen. Nate Solder, Will Hernandez, I like him. Fine. I get it. Even though Solder does not look good. But Patrick Omame is not going to cut it. John Jalapio, his first year starting, and he's playing a new position than he played in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric Flowers, I mean, come on. No effort. Bad overall player. Sour attitude. But here you go. Here's a starting right tackle.
Silver platter.
Now, will this offensive line improve? Maybe. I think it could. Sure. But is it good enough to sustain, to keep them, to help them win games down the road? Because they're going to face teams with good pass rush. Maybe they won't face
one next week. They're facing one with a good pass rush next week.
They might not face the Jaguar defense again.
DeMarcus Lawrence literally tweeted out on draft night thanking the Giants for not taking a quarterback because he loved going after Eli Manning.
Listen, people will say it's just week one, and it is just week one. It is just week one. But this is the same stuff you saw last year. This is the same stuff you saw the year before. This is the same stuff you saw the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. You got a bad offensive line with the immobile quarterback who's clearly in the decline. Let me tell you something. If you want to throw this completion percentage at me, please take that completion percentage. And if there's a window nearby, throw it out that window.
Or in the words of Stanley Hudson, shove it up your butt.
You can do that too. But I don't want to hear 10 for 10 in the first half. Yeah, he was 10 for 10 in the first half. But even on some of these completions, I was watching the game today. Even on some of these completions, the ball's high, ball's short, ball's down on the front. I mean, listen. And then on the play where he missed Odell for a touchdown before the half, I have seen Eli Manning throw off his back foot and make that throw about 10 times.
He knew the rush was coming.
Everybody knew. You saw it. You got to make those throws. You and I talked about it last week. What did we say? We said points were going to be at a premium, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember we said that? It's going to be tough to score points. The Giants were in position. They threw a pick six. You can pick who you want to blame. But you certainly can't take blame away from Eli Manning on that play. And you can listen.
There were three guys surrounding Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. I mean,
on the pick.
Saquon Barkley, I mean, the dude is really, really good. You see it, I see it, everyone sees it. I mean, the 68-yard touchdown was one thing, right? That was a great play in itself. But there was one play where he was wrapped up and he sort of broke out and turned a negative 3 yard play into a 5 yard run. But a holding penalty, I think it was on Cody Lattimore, brought it back. I mean, it is immensely frustrating because this is the same thing that we have seen time and time again. And once again, here we are after a loss, and the big debate is about who is to blame. And while Eric Flowers is getting a chunk of the blame, and he should. I'm not – listen – the days of me being an Eric Flowers apologist are long gone. The days of me sticking up for him are long gone. But you know, I know, and if you are not someone that is delusional about your favorite team, you can see it. Eli Manning is not playing well enough to win games. You can line up any receiver you want. You can line up any running back you want. You can put any tight end you want. You can line up another receiver. But it's never going to be a perfect pocket.
I mean, people just need to look in the mirror. They really do. I mean, my whole point on Sunday was against a good defense like the Jaguars, you are not going to get many opportunities to win the game. When your offensive line is as bad as the Giants is, you are not going to get many opportunities to win the game. When those opportunities present themselves, you need to step up and make a big fucking play to win them the game. And people who say, oh, well, it was the Jaguars. Well, it's only week one and they got the coaching staff. Let me tell you something. You saw how bad the Cowboys played against the Panthers, right?
Yep.
The Cowboys are favorited by 3 points in primetime next week. Which means on a neutral field, they are even with the Giants. The Vegas odds makers saw the Giants play on Sunday against the Jaguars and lose by 5, saw how bad Dak Prescott and that offense were on Sunday against the Panthers, and said, you know what? We think these teams are basically even. Football Outsiders have the Giants finishing last in the division and picking second overall again. Realistically, the Giants will not be favorites in Vegas until after their bye. To say that this upcoming Sunday primetime game is a must win is an understatement.
Oh,
teams that finish 0-2 start off 0-2. I think since 2007, I think only 10 of the 92 teams that start 0-2 have made the playoffs. And another thing, before I throw it back to you, and then we can get into some positives because we've been negative for about, let me check the timer on this, about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
People say, oh, well, you know what? The Cowboys looked like trash on Sunday. The Saints gave up 48 points to Ryan Fitzpatrick. They looked like trash. The Eagles only put up 18 points. The Giants, you know, they look decent against a good Jaguars team. The Giants are a 3-13 team into a new season loss. The Saints that you saw on Sunday are not the Saints you're going to see the rest of the season.
Those teams deserve the benefit of the doubt.
Exactly. Those teams deserve more than the benefit of the doubt. The Saints are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. They laid an egg week one. They get the benefit of the doubt in a bounce back. The Eagles, Nick Foles, week one, Falcons, benefit of the doubt. They just won a fucking Super Bowl. The Giants get zero benefit of the doubt. Don't look at the next 5 or 6 games on the schedule and tell me, oh, the Giants have a chance because some of these really, really good teams laid an egg in week one. We preach any given Sunday, but these teams deserve benefit of the doubt if they lay week one eggs despite being very good teams last year and maintaining a high percentage of roster composition coming into 2018. That's all.
I mean, I've said it all, man. I've told you, if the Giants would have lost this game, right, by Blake Bortles driving down the field and winning the game, mm-hmm. or, you know, something that's not the reason they've lost the last 4 years, I would have been, you know what, you got to just put your head down sometime and just say you lost to the better team. Mm-hmm. And even though they did still lose to the better team, it is frustrating because, and I told you this the other day, winning in the NFL is hard. And you're going to lose games, and we've accepted that. But when you lose games that you should have won, those ones hurt the most. Mm-hmm. And when you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result, you're insane.
Definition of insanity.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. What were your positives from Sunday? I mean, for me, it's a short list. Odell looked amazing.
Odell was phenomenal.
Saquon looked very, very good.
Saquon, I mean, I will say this about Saquon. I thought there was a couple plays in the blocking game where he missed a block. And you know, but listen, I'm not going to get on him on that. He's a rookie. I was impressed. That 68-yard run was pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. Kept us in the game. He had a couple of nice runs. But again, it was tough, man. You're going up against the Jags defense in your first game against this abomination of offensive line. It's tough. I give you another positive. I mean, the secondary, not just Eli Apple.
Janoris Jenkins played well.
You know, Curtis Clamp Riley.
Season's back on.
Yeah, Curtis Riley. I mean, the guy stepping in there to play the free safety spot. He made some plays. I was impressed. Kareem Martin, I was just about to say. He looked good as well. Made some plays. Played a lot of snaps as well.
Played 69 of 75 snaps, I believe.
Yeah, that is impressive. But listen, man, the Giants are going to go as far as their quarterback, their offensive line, Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham take them. And if I would have told you this, if I would have told you that Leonard Fournette would only play about a quarter and a half, he missed the rest of the game with injury, the Jaguars will commit 11 penalties for over 100 yards. The Blake Bortles will throw a pick. The Giants will win the possession battle. And Odell and Saquon will go over 100 yards. Would you tell me the Giants will win this game?
Absolutely.
I would. So, you see the potential there with this team. But the only problem is they just, for some odd reason, hold themselves back by continuing to be naive, or I don't know what word you want to use when it comes to Ereck Flowers and the offensive line.
Yep. I'm out of answers.
And when you have bad offensive linemen in there, your quarterback doesn't play well. You know, and sometimes it's not the line's fault, it's his fault. Sometimes it's not his fault, it's the line's fault. Point being, that doesn't work well together.
Nope.
So, I don't know, man.
Should we talk Cowboys?
We should. It's a big game.
I think they win, but I'm nervous. I'm very nervous.
I am nervous as well. I think people really
underestimate the Cowboys.
Yeah, if you got to watch the Carolina game. Their front seven kept them in the game.
They're going to have a field day.
Dallas was held scoreless for about three quarters. I think three and a half quarters of football. I mean, they were held scoreless. But their defense, it was bend and don't break, sort of like the Giants against Jacksonville. But they were getting to Cam Newton. And Carolina's offensive line, were dealing with injuries. They lost Darrell Williams, and they lost Greg Olsen as well. But, I mean, they held Cam in check, man. And Cam's a mobile quarterback, you know. So now going up against Eli Manning, who's the opposite of mobile.
Yep. They're going to just fucking send the house.
You know, they don't have. Listen, their defense is not Jacksonville, but their front seven is pretty good. Now, if the Giants can block and Eli Manning can make plays that he's supposed to make, the Giants can win this game. But in order for them to take advantage of the Cowboys, you know, sort of shady secondary, they're going to have to – the quarterback has to play better, the offensive line has to play better. Because we know Odell's going to show up. We know Saquon is going to show up. We know that we know that's going to happen. But they can't throw and catch themselves or block for themselves.
I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I think the game script is going to favor Saquon and Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I mean, it's basically just playing to each team's strength, right? The Cowboys are going to stack the box and send the house and force Eli Manning to make plays. They're going to force him to step up with DeMarcus Lawrence rushing right on his ass, and they're going to force him to step up and make a play. Cowboys, They know that Dak has zero timing. His receiving corps sucks. He's afraid to take deep shots. And I think they're just going to run it through the Giants' front seven. They're going to pound it down the Giants' throat. They're going to need to step up. They're going to need to stop Zeke Elliott. They're going to need to force Dak into the third and long situations so that they can let James Betcher do what James Betcher does best, and that's blitz. And that's send pressure and make Dakota Prescott uncomfortable. That's all it's going to come down to. It sounds stupid simple because it is. It doesn't take, you know, there's a lot of overreaction to week one. I don't think the one thing that we don't need to overreact to, the Cowboys offense is actually bad. Like, really, really bad. They have Zeke, and that's it.
Yeah.
Force Dak into the third and long. That's going to be the key.
Now, the big news is Olivier Vernon's coming back. That's a big plus. Because even though fans have this weird feelings toward Vernon.
Yeah.
Vernon is still really good.
He's very good.
Like, he might not be in that top class of pass rushers, but he's still really good. And so having him is going to help going against Tyron Smith. He's had some success against him in the past. But you talk about stopping the run. Travis Frederick, the loss of Travis Frederick hurts because people don't know how good he is. If you don't know how good he is, just ask Snacks Harrison because he'll be the first to tell you. So I think Snacks Harrison, Dalvin Tomlinson, and BJ Hill should be able to dominate the interior of the offensive line. The left guard, I think it's a rookie, Connor Williams. I don't even know who their center is right now. I think it's Looney starting at center for the Cowboys. I don't even know.
I don't know. I think I couldn't pronounce his name.
But the point is that it ain't Travis Frederick. So they got to take advantage of that. And the one thing I will say about the run defense of the Giants, while, you know, Jacksonville had 137 yards on the ground. 41 of those yards came on one play. So while you look at the stat sheet and you say 137 yards, you know, 41 came on a quarterback sneak. And you can say, well, Saquon, you know, rushed for over 168, came on one play. Well, Saquon is known for that. Blake Bortles shouldn't be breaking off a 41-yard run. But anyways, I think they'll do a good job stopping the run. The big thing for the Cowboys is, can they run outside the tackles? Because I think that's where the success is going to be. Because I think inside, I think Snacks, BJ Hill, Dalvin Thompson, they're going to do a good job of stopping the run inside. But outside the tackles, that's going to be key. Can the Giants stop that and not allow Zeke to get to the outside and make plays? But I do expect a lot of adjustments from the Cowboys because that was an embarrassing performance for them week one. I think, obviously, playing at home, some of those – what we say, role players,
yep.
They sort of tend to play better. You know, and I hate to use that basketball analogy, but it's sort of true in this case too. You sort of expect to see Cole Beasley play better. You're going to expect to see Terrence Williams play better. For the Giants, it's going to be important for them not to let the Cowboy receivers gain confidence through this game. That's the one thing Carolina did well, is they didn't give them any ounce of confidence. They were in their face all game. And so if the Giants can do that, they can keep Zeke inside, you know, from breaking away, getting big gains. I think the Giants can win this game. But again, I will say this about Dak Prescott. There's a lot of pressure on him this year. There's talks of him getting a contract extension. There's a lot of pressure on Jason Garrett. You know, this could be one of those games where Dak plays unusually well facing all that pressure of being the starting quarterback of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I will be a lot more confident if this game was played in New York rather than Dallas. But Sunday night in the Dome.
This is as much of a toss-up as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, call me crazy, but I could see the Cowboys blowing out the Giants. And I could see the Giants blowing up the Cowboys. So
I agree. I mean, it's a very cop out answer, and yeah. I'll stick with my original prediction. I predicted on our last episode for a Giants victory week two against the Cowboys. I'm gonna stick with that.
I listen.
This is gonna be a Shermer game. This is gonna be a Shermer game.
I think last week when we gave the season predictions, I said the Giants would win this game. I think they will. I think I'm with you, man. I think they're able to win this game because I think the Cowboys have more problems than the Giants.
Agreed.
And I could probably end up eating my words, but I just think that Dallas's issues are much bigger than the Giants. I think there's a lot of stuff within the Cowboys that we don't exactly know about.
Agree.
Yeah.
And if they lose Sunday night, our next episode is going to be doomsday.
Oh, if the Giants lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think whichever team loses, I mean, is going to be in for, you know, a rough week because...
Especially considering it's a national primetime game.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not going to be just us. It's going to be the national media.
If Dallas loses, you're going to... people. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, you're going to start talking about Jason Garrett's job status. If the Giants lose and a certain other team not too far away continues to win and their quarterback continues to go up, their new quarterback, that noise just continues to get louder and louder and louder.
And compounds.
Yeah. Forget about starting 0-2, but there's another element to this that, you know, is just like could be knocking at the doorstep on the Giants, if you catch my drift.
Oh, I caught it. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
All right. Good.
All right. Should we get into some questions?
Sure.
Before we get into the questions, we've got to talk about the sponsor for the episode. I mentioned them in the intro, mybookie.ag. You guys see me tweeting all weekend. I'm gambling on college. I'm gambling on NFL. I'm gambling on everything. And I'm doing it through mybookie.ag. Promo code NYG. 100% deposit on deposit. 100% deposit. 100% bonus on deposits up to $1,000. So you deposit $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. You deposit $50, they'll give you $50. You're confident that the Giants are going to beat the Cowboys in Dallas on primetime? Bet a money line plus 130. I might be doing that. I won over 8 units this weekend. I hit a teaser last night. I even threw in a prop bet, which lost. Tyler Higbee first touchdown last night. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. I got nuts last night. I got nuts this whole weekend. I'm going to get nuts this coming weekend. Winners all day. Maybe I'll tweet some out. But gamble with me. Mybookie.ag. Promo code NYG. Do it. Make some money. And have a lot of fun. I promise. All right. Let's get into some questions. I'm going to start with my favorite one. And it's due to... cause a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
From MF7.
Uh-huh.
You have to win 10 games this season.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your quarterback? Eli or Darnold?
So, this is the Giants roster.
Giants roster, now. Giants schedule.
Uh-huh.
You got to win 10 games.
As bad as he was, man, I'm still going to go with Eli. The reason why I'm going to go Eli is because I think Darnold will be good. I do. I think he will. I think the Jets got their franchise quarterback. But I don't think he was, like, that great yesterday. Like, I
agree. I think the hype's a little overblown.
Yeah, I think, like, if they would have lost that game, the narrative would be completely different.
Sure.
But I don't think he was, like, oh, my God, so great. I mean, he was up and down, and listen, that's expected.
He was good for his rookie debut.
Yeah, if you want to call it that. I mean, he's still 21. He's only 21 years old. I'm still going with Eli.
I'm going with Darnold. I'll tell you why.
Because he can move.
Well, that's one of the reasons. You have the mobility factor. He can escape the pocket. He can throw well on the run. You have a guy who is being, I don't want to say he's being touted as a gunslinger, but a risk taker. Eli's already that. You're just adding a mobile factor to him. You're giving him Odell, Saquon, and Engram far and away better weapons than he's got on the Jets. And despite the fact that, you know, you got a 21-year-old rookie, you're probably only giving him a limited play call set. He's still got the weapons to get it done. I'm sorry. I'm going to roll the dice with Darnold. You need the mobility factor with this terrible offensive line.
Yeah, I think, listen, there's a big part of this game, the mental part of it. And say what you want about Eli's physical attributes, but mentally, I think while there are some stuff about him that's deteriorating, the mental IQ is still there. So I'm gonna stick with Eli.
All right, fair enough. From Phil, should Eric Flowers be moved to the defensive line? He's great at pressuring the quarterback.
Eric Flowers should be moved to the bench.
Eric Flowers should be moved to Mars.
And after this season, he should move to Mars.
From Cam, everything stays the same on the roster. Otherwise, would you rather have Khalil Mack or Odell? Odell. I mean, for me, it's Odell hands down.
Yeah. But I love me some Khalil Mack.
Me too. He was unreal.
Oh, my goodness. And that game.
That was probably the best game we'll watch this whole season.
It was one of the best. I mean, it was better than any game I watched last year.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was great, man. I mean, it sucks that Khalil Mack's team lost because he was so dominant in that game. But, man, Aaron Rodgers, man. Woo!
Yeah, made a little bit of money live betting the Packers.
I mean, look at you, man. You just throw it in our face. All right, just throw it in our face.
Winning left and right, and you can too. MyBookie.ag, check it out. This one is from his at is at Saquon Era, and his display name is hashtag start Chad Wheeler season. Is Chad Wheeler an option at right tackle? He should be.
I mean,
at this point, throw shit at the wall and see what sticks.
I mean, here's the thing. How bad does Chad Wheeler need to be?
Exactly. Here's the thing, and this is what bothers me when people be like, oh, you know, if there was a better option out there, don't you think the Giants would have brought them in? Listen, there's a floor and there's a ceiling with every player. Eric Flowers' ceiling does not exist. All he has is a floor. You know what you have in him. It's been 4 years. Going on five. You know he sucks. Fucking try something else.
Yeah.
Put you at right tackle.
Dave Gettleman might as well come down from
right
the
tackle.
Dave Gettleman might as well come down from the booth and play right tackle.
Yeah. He's got the gut for it. Crazy.
Listen, man. Like I said at the beginning of the show, how are the Giants not trying out right tackles day and night? How is there not an open tryout right now? I mean, how can you trot this guy out back on the field and tell me you want to win football games?
It's crazy.
What has he done in his 4 years that tells you, man, remember that game he had? Remember that game Eric Flowers played? He was really good, man.
Never happened.
Maybe we can get to that game. It's every game he's been bad. Every single game he's been a liability. And now all of a sudden, people think, oh, he's a right tackle. You know, he's not gonna. You know, it's for some reason gonna be better. I don't get it, man. And it is costing them football games. I want to emphasize this, you know, because I don't want to sound like an Eli apologist. It wasn't all Eric Flowers. Patrick Omame was bad as well.
Nate Solder wasn't great.
Nate Solder wasn't great either. Will Hernandez is a rookie. Jalapio, he wasn't great either. Eli Manning wasn't great either. Like I said, they should have won the game despite Eric Flowers' awful play. But I just don't understand why this guy just keeps starting week in and week out. And it's like he just needs snaps. Oh, he just, you know, it's continuity. The dude sucks.
Sucks.
He could sleep in the same. They can all sleep in the same bed for all I care. But when it's time to play on Sunday, the dude sucks. I don't get it, man. It's just it's so frustrating to watch.
Can't do it anymore.
Can't.
All right, we got three questions from GoChan. Realistically, what can be done about the right tackle spot? Realistically, just. Like you said, try out every fucking body and see what happens.
There's a lot of billboards near Giant Stadium. Right? I'm not there often. I mean,
I know a guy.
There's a lot of billboards there. Just put a big every fucking billboard.
Help wanted.
Area. Help wanted.
New York Giants right tackle.
Offensive lineman. and just let him come.
Jersey's got some big dudes.
You got to be 18 years old. Just come in. You know? Just come in. No, but all seriousness, New England today has an issue with running backs and receivers, right? And what were they doing? Tryouts, bringing guys in. Houston, their offensive line did not look good. Looked really bad on Sunday. If you guys don't believe me, go back and watch the game. Deshaun Watson was getting eaten alive. What were they doing? Trying out offensive tackles. That's what the Giants should be doing.
Facts. Not trying to absolve Eli of blame. He made mistakes that were costly, but how much of that do you attribute to the new offensive scheme?
None.
Yeah, none. He was just missing throws.
He was
just missing,
man,
throws. That's it. It's that simple.
I don't understand this. What scheme? He missed throws.
He just missed his guys. He just missed them. Does performing decently well against Jacksonville give you hope? No, because that's what Jacksonville does. They keep it close and they grind you out.
I don't understand. I said it before. If they would have lost this game 35-30 or, you know, some other reason that we haven't seen over the last 4 years, I would have been like, okay, this is different, you know. But it's the same thing. I don't understand why people don't, like, you're just being you're being delusional about your favorite team if you're sitting here saying, we just lost by 5, you know. No, man. That's not the way it works.
All right, last Flowers question from Brian. Do you think Flowers makes it through the season with his starting job intact?
No.
I agree. I do not. Despite what we've seen, I do not think he... Yeah. There will be, at some point, they'll just say, fuck it, Chad, get out there.
It could be the next game.
Yeah.
If he's...
If DeMarcus Lawrence makes him look like a fool.
Yeah, and it'll be quick. Listen. If they lose Sunday to the Cowboys, you can wrap it up. We might as well start talking about the draft.
Just put a bow on it. It's draft season.
You ain't going. If you start 0-2 with who they got, they still got Philly twice, Atlanta.
Washington twice.
We got the division out the way.
Yep.
They got Atlanta, New Orleans.
Yep.
Tampa Bay, who, I mean.
Chicago's defense.
Chicago. Houston.
Might go 3-13 again, but whatever.
I mean, I'm just saying, man.
All right. Let's talk about this one. This is from the Nonsense Boat 44. Both of your thoughts and opinions on Darnold balling on Monday Night Football and Ra'anon tweeting something about Darnold and Giants fans that wanted Saquon over QB at 2 are so petty and salty because deep down they know he wasn't the smart pick.
Listen.
Yeah, I know you want to speak on this. That's why I asked the question.
Darnold was not balling. Darnold played well for a guy playing his first game. Okay? But in no way, shape, or form was he, quote-unquote, balling. You know what was balling? The Jet defense.
Yeah.
That was balling. Anyways. So Jordan Ra'anon tweeted some about Sam Darnold's appearance, and he looks and carries himself like a franchise quarterback. I agree with that. You know, I mean, he sort of reminds me of Eli Manning. His demeanor, doesn't let stuff bother him. We saw it through a pick six, came back, played fairly well. Giants fans, man, it just seems like if you compliment somebody from the 2018 draft that the Giants could have, should have drafted, it's like you're cursing their mother. You know,
The insecurity is real.
Yeah, it's not just insecurity, it's paranoia, because they sense something happening and they don't want to believe it.
Yep.
It's like, you know it's coming, but you don't want to buy it. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The pick of Saquon Barkley will be determined by three things. Number one, if the Giants win the Super Bowl with Eli Manning at their quarterback and Saquon Barkley, then that Saquon Barkley pick, in my opinion, will be a success because he helped you win a Super Bowl. And I'm willing to jeopardize finding another franchise quarterback for that.
Sure.
Number two, if none of the quarterbacks picked after the Giants drafted turn into franchise guys. I find that one hard to believe, But if that happens, then the Saquon Barkley pick is a success. And third is, if the Giants find a franchise quarterback and don't put themselves in quarterback hell or don't have to trade a plethora of picks to get one. And even then so, he would have to be as good or better than the guys that they passed up on. So I said it 100 times already on this when we talked about the draft, you know, in the spring, last spring.
Yep.
But that's the way it is, man.
It is the way it is.
So people got to stop being paranoid. That's sort of the reason why they believed in them, that they truly believed that Davis Webb was the future, because they knew Davis Webb was not a real threat.
They wanted him to be.
Exactly. And they knew that they wanted him to be, but they knew he wasn't.
Yes.
And then they carried that stupid, ludicrous, just downright dumb narrative throughout the entire offseason, and the dude doesn't even make the 53-man roster.
Crazy. Last question.
Yep.
From Mike. Has Eli Apple turned the corner, or was it just Bortles being Bortles? This is an interesting one.
I'm not going to take anything away from Eli Apple. It's a little bit of both. It wasn't Bortles being Bortles. It was the Giants going against receivers that are not fairly good or not top-tier receivers. But I thought Eli Apple played well. And they're going to need that consistently from Eli Apple. You know the difference between Eli Apple and Ereck Flowers is? We've seen these type of games from Eli Apple where he's played particularly well.
Yes. It's keeping it consistent that's the issue.
Yeah, and sort of locker room issues as well. But we've never seen Ereck Flowers play remotely consistently well throughout an entire game.
He's got to do it.
Yeah.
And he's got two cake matchups back-to-back. He's got Jags and Cowboys.
Yep.
So let's see if he could do it.
Cowboys should be easy for him.
Yeah, agree. They got no one.
And then after the Cowboys, I think they go to Houston.
Then New Orleans.
Houston and New Orleans. So Houston has Hopkins. But Dallas, you're right. It's an easy one in terms of their receivers. I mean, I can't even name them.
All right. Any parting words?
Man, if the Giants lose on Sunday,
I'm going to go fucking bananas. It's going to be a must-listen episode.
And then the Jets win. Whew. Man, oh, man.
I don't think the Jets win, for what it's worth.
Who they play?
They play Miami.
Where's the game?
The game is, I'll tell you in a sec. It's a 3-point line. It's at New York.
Oof. We'll see.
I mean, Miami stinks, but I think Darnold's got three games in 10 days to start his career. That's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot.
It's a lot.
But for the Giants, they got to win this game. And Ereck Flowers has got to be on a short leash. In practice this week, Chad Wheeler
season, baby.
Chad Wheeler better be getting some reps, because you have to prepare yourself.
Yep.
Even John Greco and Evan Brown and some of these other linemen, reserve guys, because Patrick Omame is complete shit too. He gets let off the hook because Flowers, but Omame's looked like complete crap the last 2 years. This last game and then the season as well. I got 2 years stuck in my mind because we're stuck with him for 2 years, this year and next year, if you look at his contract.
Scary times.
Must win.
It's a must win. If it's a should win. It's not just a must win. It's a should win. This Cowboys team isn't very good. They got a pass rush and that's it. But we know that a pass rush is enough to disrupt this entire Giants team.
Yep.
All right. NYG Weekly wrapping up this week. Follow us on Twitter at EthanGSN, NYG Daily, GothamSN. Subscribe, iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. If we're not on an app, you want us to be on an app, you let me know and I'll get us on the app. That's about it. Giants, Cowboys, must win. Fuck Ereck Flowers. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.